Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, May 30th, 2018. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is a beautiful, sunny 75 degrees and very pleasant, going up to almost 90 here today, which is pretty hot for May here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off on Friday? We titled the show Open Air Biowarfare, Pandemics, Disease X, Recoding Humans, and PAHPA. And you say, what is PAHPA? We actually talked about that at the very end of the show on Friday. That stands for the Pandemic and All Hazards Preparedness Act. And that is something that they are working as of May 24th on trying to pass again, reauthorize federal programs for health emergencies like large-scale outbreaks or major catastrophes. And we found out that in Africa, the World Bank put out bonds, and they were going to offer derivatives that would pay out after there were 250 deaths in the Congo from Ebola. Because remember, they make money whether or not things go up the scale or down the scale. Now today, hold on 1 second. It made me lose my train of thought. A video started playing and the video wasn't loading. So today we are going to talk to Camille, and I'm sure you guys remember Camille. She is a listener who lives in this general vicinity, who has become very interested in food, clean food. I mean, she's been paying attention to this for a very long time. And she dropped me a story this morning in regards to something that we had talked about a show or two ago, and that would be mycoplasmas. Right now in New Zealand, they are talking about culling 150,000 cows to end a bacterial disease and that is infecting them. Now, what's even more interesting is the bacterial disease is a mycoplasma, and we've talked about mycoplasmas as a part of the biowarfare program that they had discovered in some of the pathogens that had come over from Nazi Germany in some of their research at Plum Island. And if you remember, we talked to Carl Grossman a week or two ago in regards to Plum Island and his three visits there. I got to say, that was kind of probably one of the greatest conversations ever, to actually talk to someone who's been there and who has seen and knows about some of the stuff that has really gone on as a researcher. So these mycoplasmas are infecting the cattle, and they want to cull these 150,000 cows. I'm sure, I don't know what New Zealand's beef industry puts out on a yearly basis, but I'd imagine 150,000 cows is probably a pretty significant number. Oh, here, New Zealand is home to some 10 million cows, so I guess it's just a small drop, but it's double its human population. Two-thirds are dairy cows, and the rest are beef cattle. Huh. So, anyway, mycoplasmas and beef. Now, remember here, we also had mad cow disease back during the days of George Bush. But remember, a lot of Georgie Porgy Bush's friends happened to be in the cattle industry. And so as long as the cow was slaughtered before it was falling down, you didn't have to report it. I think that ended up being the loophole there. So we could all be eating mad cow beef and not even know it. We also found out about mycoplasmas in vaccines and in gene cell therapies. They were finding it in cultures when they were percolating agents in eggs, which is how the first generation of vaccinations was done. And they think that many of the vaccines that probably a lot of us got as kids were probably contaminated at the time. And it causes some pretty nasty immune system disorders to be consuming these things. Now, we also discovered phages, bacteriophages, which are those prehistoric viruses that fall from the sky is something that they are planning and already are adding to our meat and poultry products. These bacteriophages infect bacteria, but they are actually viruses, and they can target different types of bacteria like E. coli or Staphylococcus, like you would find in poultry, and kill them before they make it to the food chain. And they are using this in farming factories. They are using these things. Now they're looking at using them for therapies for humans. It's pretty frightening. They are spraying it on our lettuces and on our spinaches. And when asked whether or not bacteriophages are organic, yes, this is according to this Intralix.com, and these are a manufacturer of phages for the food industry. Their answer, do organically grown foods contain phages? They say yes. Organically grown foods are likely to contain more phages than non-organic foods treated with various chemicals, because many chemicals used to improve the safety of foods or to preserve and increase the shelf life of foods kills phages as well as potentially pathogenic bacteria and potentially beneficial probiotic bacteria. So phages are even considered organic. So that is, if there were any reason to not want to buy food off the shelf or out of your grocery store necessarily from a large factory farm, it would be some of these reasons we've outlined. So Camille is active in her farming community, and she has been very staunch in making sure that she knows where her food comes from. When we've talked to Camille before, we discovered that she had a Steemit page where she does all of her well-researched posting, and after she did her presentation to her food co-op, she compiled all of her information into a very, very thorough post discussing some of the solutions to the problem and reaction of contamination in our food supply that is going on right now. Of course, because we have bacteria and things, we're going to spray it with all of these untested viruses, let them get into the human body, kind of the same reasons that they decided it'd be good to launch GMO foods. And remember, factory farming isn't sustainable. Wink. So we're going to have to come up with some sort of solutions for that as well. And that might be something such as fake meats. So, all right, Camille is on the line with us. And she is going to give you a brain upload of all the things that she's researched and some of the connections back to a lot of the things that we've discussed on this show. Good morning, Camille. How is it in your sunny area today?
Good morning. It's hot and sunny here. It's lovely, though. But one of the things that I want to say on the New Zealand, the mycoplasma thing, is in the articles that I looked at, they said that New Zealand and Norway were the only countries that were previously free from this mycoplasma bovis in the livestock, in the cows. And so that's kind of unsettling with what you've looked at with the mycoplasma.
It's got to make you wonder, too, if they're even testing for it here or if it's something that's run rampant.
Yeah, definitely. And they say that they're just going to go on those farms anywhere where they find the bacteria and kill them all. And so that some of them will be slaughtered and processed and used for beef, but not all of them. So,
and it also has to make you wonder that if it's passed through the milk. I mean, I never looked as to whether or not mycoplasmas can cross a placenta, because that would probably be a good question to look up.
Yeah.
Because we also found years ago on the show that there's something called bovine leukemia virus. And if you've never read about it, definitely see if you can find the notes from that show, because it's very shocking. That does pass into the milk. And they've known about it, I don't know, maybe it was even the 70s. But at that time, they didn't have as sensitive equipment as we have today, but it does pass into the milk, and they've now found that virus in breast tumors.
Yeah, and that's what this is. It causes the mastitis and and arthritis, pneumonia, but mastitis, that would be like that, right? Breast tissue.
Well, at least but inflammation of breast tissue, which then inflammation tends to cause cancers.
Yeah. And looking at the mycoplasma and the culling of the animals here, and then how you had mentioned before the different things that with the Plum Island research being moved and then the viruses being sprayed or the phages being sprayed on our food, because watching that video that you had sent, they were talking about, since this is the only way, you know, if there was a better way to do meat. Well, they've got the better way to do meat. And it's funny to me because the better way to do meat and this new healthy push, this sustainable, the better way to eat, it is the most processed food ever. I mean, whole foods for so long was considered to be the healthy way to eat, avoid processed food. And now everything about this, the Beyond Meat products, which are on the shelf right now, which was even funded through, it was started through the USDA. It was a backed engineering research at the University of Missouri, the Beyond Meat was. And I've heard people that have tried this meat tell me that the scariest part about it is that it tasted like meat. And this is a plant-based meat. This is the chopping up using little bits of plants to create through a high pressure, high heat vacuum system to make these real meat-like products. But they have this already on the store shelves. They've got all of these problems with the food system that they've created, and factory farming is so bad, which factory farming, it seems to me, probably was able to ramp up and get even worse with introducing the clones to the food system, right? That being able to say, well, this one's really great, let's copy it and then breed the heck out of it. It just seems like science is double dipping again. You know, they caused that problem, like you said, and now they're getting to come in with their very high-tech lockdown the food system solution, because there's nothing sustainable, even though they're talking about they want to be able to create bioreactors locally so that food can be produced. It just, if the move is to go away from people being able to raise animals, which I haven't necessarily seen that, but the 2018 Farm Bill, which is going on right now, there's a lot of interesting things as far as what they're going to say farming can do. I know that California has suggested for their thing for the Farm Bill, funny enough too, that they want to develop and fund an indemnification program for national animal health to compensate people for those highly infectious disease outbreaks. That was interesting. But yeah. Okay.
Oh, I was just going to mention, not only the disease outbreaks, but of course they are trying to sell this alternative to farming and animals in particular as being green, just like the phages on our food to kill bacterial infestations is green because it's not using chemicals anymore. It's all organic. You know, by trying to change the way our bodies by changing the input that our bodies take from something that has been well established for millions of years and we've evolved on is a very slippery slope to me, because there are so many unknowns, and of course years after something starts causing issues, and we're talking like 20, 30 years, you'll start seeing research about it, you know, in the literature saying, oh, well, maybe this is causing some sort of imbalance, or maybe this is causing cancer. But this isn't, nothing about any of this is known, and putting all of these unknowns into our bodies, and of course in the name of climate change. And there was a story, and I don't know if I posted it, but I might have emailed it to you this morning about the bullshit of them trying to sell climate change as the reason to get rid of meat and farming.
Yeah,
and
I heard that
the meat is bad for the environment narrative. That's what they called it.
And I've also heard them say that these animals won't be able to survive in these warmer temperatures that are coming. That animals, they need a specific sort of temperature range to live in.
Right, so that's where George Church comes into the picture.
And his mammoth stomping the permafrost.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And wait, there was a story, oh my God, and I don't have it up, but that's exactly what it said, is that the reason that he's bringing back the woolly mammoth is because it's going to help combat climate change. That literally was the title, that resurrecting, and they had a name for that whole project. De-extinction, I think, is what they were calling it. And, of course, he's trying to create the synthetic human genome, and we found out Friday that the only way to beat a virus is to reconstruct the human genome to make us impervious to infection. So, yeah, it's so anyway, you gave this presentation. So what type of group was this, and what was the whole reasoning behind this? How did you get involved in this?
Well, it's where I purchase my raw milk. A woman brings in milk from a local dairy, and we've had a lot of issues locally for dairy, for the pasteurized, homogenized milk lately. Walmart has dumped a bunch of farms, well, through one of their buyers, they've dumped a bunch of farms, and they've built a big plant that they're going to do their own bottling, which made me, that's actually what pushed me into looking at this more, because I wondered if it wouldn't be end up being something more along the lines of Perfect Day Foods, how they're brewing milk using yeast. And I couldn't imagine that Walmart being so involved in this sustainability push. I've seen them all over the place, that they wouldn't be ahead of the game. I don't see them getting fields of cows, but I can't say that for sure. But that's what got me looking at this. And they have an event every year where they have presenters, and they asked me to come and do a presentation on all of this stuff, because I scare her weekly when I go out and talk about creepy things in the food system. And it just really, it was more than I even thought it was going to be. And then you suggesting, the one day you emailed me something about breast milk, and I was like, I wonder if they can brew that too. Why can't they? And then they do, and it's already on the market in baby formula. 2-fructose-lactose is what they call this human milk sugar, and it's already in some Similac formulas. And there's just so much that has come out of this. All the entire food system is under attack here. And even though the entire food system, or not the entire food system, but the vast majority of the food system has already seemed like a disgusting venture with factory farming, which they seem to be fine with for years. The cloning and the Cattlemen's Association, who's all up in arms now because they don't want them to be able to call this meat, or at least that's the story. You know, they like to be on both sides and drive the conversation. So I'm not saying that the Cattlemen's Association are trying to save us from stem cell meat, but they're fighting for, in the Farm Bill, this Good Food Institute, which is a funny name. This Good Food Institute is one of the groups that's working to push forward this whole changeover in food. And they've done studies. I talk about it in my presentation, that they did studies to see what is the best way to talk about this meat, because people get turned off by the Franken meat idea. And they openly say that they're not out to talk about what is scientifically accurate in any of this. Clean doesn't mean that it's safe and free from things, but they want the most public support for their products. And so they're using words, Good Food Institute and clean and sustainable and humane, and it's such a trick. I mean, they have, for all of these people at my local food co-op, they have 2 of the product lines that I talk about here in my presentation already on their store shelves. And one of them, the brand Just, they are in 3,600 public K-12 schools. Their products. Right now they have condiments and mayonnaise and cookie dough, but they're the ones that are saying by the end of 2018 they will have their cultured stem cell clean meat on the shelves by the end of 2018, because they have used machine learning to take plants and find the little bit to make the magical serum that they need, because currently, or in the past, they've been growing stem cell meat using cow and chicken fetuses, and they obviously can't say that these are animal-free products when that's what they need to grow. And then they've also been brewing serum, but just was using machine learning, and they are working with the biggest food and meat manufacturers in the world. They are already working with them to take and change the way that they do food, because they've got the chemical makeup of butter. And you can choose, they show in some of their presentations how you can go and you can pick out, I want this nutritional quality, I want this mouthfeel, so that companies, it's easy, you can just go and recreate food, and that they want to replace the milk and the eggs and the butter on your ingredient list, too. You won't even know that you're, I don't know, ho-hos, I don't know what they would be, but you don't even know what the ingredients are necessarily. And we know, as you've talked about with cloned meat, that they don't have to tell us now that meat is could be coming from a clone or an offspring of a clone.
So no, it was decided not to have to label it at all. And that was back in 2006, I believe.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't have high hopes that they would let you know. I know they're discussing the little label will biologically engineered foods show that little BE symbol or what, but they're selling it to people as healthy. And these good people that want to have a cleaner environment and they don't like factory farms, that I think they've been sort of led and manipulated into this mindset to be perfectly primed for this total takeover of the food system, because I don't see this as a just happening right now thing, but they're already on the shelves. I could see later this year when they're grown meat, just replacing, getting rid of animals in this step, you know, it's fine. And I could see this coming right onto the store shelves and being accepted. They have such a marketing campaign. It's all, they're looking for people to help them with the selling the idea to the public. And it's so glaringly coming out of California and Israel. They have their California-Israel partnership that they signed in 2014 between Netanyahu and Governor Brown. And they are using all of the technology incubators over there in California. It's all at the whim of all of the scientists that are working on developing these different products. We've got Israel, three of Israel's stem cell meat companies just signed a big $300 million contract with China to bring in their lab-grown meat to China. And China, I've been reading over the last few days, has a lot of talks with the U.S. on bringing our grown products, our products, to take them to China now to feed them. And there's so many foods that they're planning on growing in these bioreactors. I can just imagine they need a lot of nutrition over there. They have a lot of people, right? So they can grow milk and eggs. They don't even need hens. They have different products of eggs. Just Foods has their egg scramble, which is not eggs. It's based off of mung beans, because they found this property in mung beans that lets it scramble like eggs. And people are shocked. They can just completely copy the chemical makeup and just use plants. What does that do to us in the end? That's my question, because you need the whole product, in my mind, the whole food, for the nutrition to actually work. I mean, when you just take bits and pieces, who knows if it's going to work the same way?
Well, right, we evolved on meat and plants,
yeah.
But I mean, that's how our species evolved. So we're looking, and I mean, they've talked about evolution and speeding up evolution by tinkering with genes and things. I mean, how do we know that this isn't going to flip switches that are unknown until there's been widespread testing? And China would be a perfect test bed. They also have their clone factories, and they were cloning cows with human breast milk genes. I don't know if you ever read about that one.
Oh, yeah. It's scary because of the level of the change. I mean, they're changing the actual animals, like you just said, with making cows produce breast milk. They're growing the meat. They're butchering plants to create these new unnatural products that taste scary like meat, or whatever they're supposed to taste like. And then they're also doing, you remember quite a while ago, I had looked into companies like that, InnocuCore, back when we were looking at the Bacillus stuff. That is certified organic in Canada. And it's been sprayed for at least 5 years on this. They did a test field of organic strawberries. And that was a 5-year-long test. And that is biotechnology. They're spraying, it's certified organic. So they killed off, and the connections to Bayer Crop Science with InnocuCore was funny, that the higher ups in InnocuCore came from there. But they're not the only company that's doing this. But these big industries killed the soil, and now they're, oh, look, we've got this lovely solution. We can bring it back to life. And then we know what the Bacillus strains are doing to, well, what they tell us they're doing when we ingest them in our lovely probiotics and things like that, where they completely, again, remade the way that gut health and gut cultures, they just switched it all over, and that's making antibiotics grow inside of you. They're feeding that, they're cutting animal feed for horses, chickens, cows, and fish, I've seen, with the Bacillus subtilis in the feed. It's cut into the feed, so that's why they don't have to give them antibiotics anymore, because it just makes it inside of them, these wonderful
That's
things that they use.
Horrifying. And you remember that Bacillus subtilis was one of the ones that go into spore form, and they literally take over the gut bacteria, so they can remake
they
the landscape. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have the little flagella that can travel around your body. Yep. This is all part of their nanobot research stuff. But now the bacteriophages, those little running, I mean, you've seen pictures of a bacteriophage, where they got the little legs and they got the DNA payload, and it can go and inject it into you, take over your cells, and then explode, and then keep going and infect you. I mean, it's horrifying. And they're doing this at a global scale right now. I mean, it's a terraforming. They're mixing and matching. And I see that you even mentioned in your post about them now wanting to feed your pets stem cell meat as well. And veterinary medicine, the whole connection there. Why don't you talk about some of your realization with that?
Yeah, I've been surprised at how, I don't know why, but at how many times in the industry talks that I've been listening to, how many times they talk about the importance of people in the veterinary field coming on board, and how many of these people that got into this cellular agriculture, which they call it, that they came from the veterinary world because they wanted to save the animals, when there's obviously a better way to do that. There are farms that are perfect examples for how animals and the land and people can work together. So they're going from their one crazy extreme of factory farming, pollute the water, destroy everything, to lab grown everything because it's safer and cleaner, and vertical farming. I'm sorry, that's an aquaculture. These things they're neglecting to talk about the fact that we have a microbiome. They've already talked about how important the tiny life is to us, even though they're redoing it, how important the tiny life is to us, but the plants have that too, and the animals have their own little system too, and they're removing them from their natural way of doing things. But the veterinary side of things, it just seems like another perfect way to take people that want to do good and bring them in. And this is backed by all the universities and the big business and the people that are, like, Bill Gates is in how many of these companies? He's so behind and backing all of these companies, well, not all of them, a lot of them. And it seems like a big play on the people that want to do better in the world. Like, veterinary medicine, I always thought of that as such a noble thing, you know, to take care of creatures that can't do for themselves necessarily in today's world. And instead now they are tinkering and doing little biopsies and growing them. Oh, we can just completely replace them. Then what happens to the animals when they completely replace them? Unless they do a Plum Island outbreak in Kansas or
well, that's very worrisome to me, because one of the things that we found out in talking to Carl is that there was a lot of veterinary type research going on there with animals and experimentation on Plum Island. But also when I was doing a few posts after the show on things that I had found in my research, I found an advertisement for Plum Island inviting veterinary students to come work there for the summer or whatever and do research. And it makes you wonder, as they're getting to mad science everything, and they bring in all these, as I say, smarty pants from all the colleges and do the funding and have them help them do their mad science research, then move Plum Island to Manhattan, Kansas, right in the center of the agricultural breadbasket of the country. You know, problem, reaction, solution. Oh no, all the animals caught some horrible disease after a tornado outbreak wiped out the building.
Whoa.
And but good thing that we have all these alternative meats out there. You know, that's one of the things that I was thinking about back in the days when they first were pushing GMO salmon. Right before all of the push for GMO salmon, there happened to be a major virus outbreak in the wild salmon. Whoops. But good thing now we have an alternative. Yeah, well, it was very predictable. So I agree with you there. When you look at the connections between Plum Island, mycoplasmas, and like in New Zealand, poor New Zealand, you know, I have a personal connection there. I have family there and stuff. And so I pay more than my share of attention to what goes on in New Zealand. And I've just watched this march. I think just recently, they were one of the first countries to deploy gene drives to wipe out their rodent population, because they are an island. They weren't native. They actually came in on ships or something. So they were considered an invasive species. I mean, how sad is that? And New Zealand used to be the one place that was always so far out there, back when I was a kid, you know, to even call it Christmas at Christmas time. That video keeps turning on. To call New Zealand at Christmas time, it was like a $50 or $60 phone call just for a few minutes. We had to rush and pass the phone around, you know. But just seeing now as their government has changed hands, and I know my family isn't happy about what's going on down there, they've become more and more globalist. And back in the 70s, I remember they had a really high trade deficit, and so they did something very ballsy, and that was completely ban any imports. I think they had a large, just like we have, you know, a really large deficit, trade deficit. And so they banned all imports. So they were a very behind the times country. I mean, when we were there at my aunt's house, the one aunt didn't even have plumbing. Well, she had water for the tub, but for like the sewage, you had a bucket or an outhouse. That's what you did, you know. And it was very, very isolated. But then as they changed hands, they became part of the globalist cabal. I blame a lot of that on Lord of the Rings, by the way. Because if you remember, after that, all the rich people started to move down there. And I guess real estate prices have gone up really high now, too. But you're also going to start seeing a lot of these strange diseases. Like you said that New Zealand and Norway were the two countries that never had mycoplasmas before.
That's what they said. And then Australia has a very small percentage, I guess, of the mycoplasmas. But that they are found in Europe and the U.S.
Huh. So they might have to... Well, hopefully they don't have to cull a lot, because remember, they are an island nation, so that means that the price of meat will go sky high.
They just need to install some bioreactors. They're looking for engineers to help them build these. They're looking for all walks of life to help
culture
them
chicken.
Fix the food system. Yeah, cultured chicken. They want to replace chicken coops with bioreactors. That's a quote from them. And on your, when you mentioned the GMO salmon, sorry, wild type in San Francisco, they're working on lab grown salmon, so that we don't even have to worry about that creepy GMO salmon, because I've heard them talk about how some of these ways of growing the meat do require genetic modification. I think that was with the pluripotent stem cells that they do require that, but not all of the ways. So this will be just so much healthier.
So they're using stem cells to then grow the meat proteins? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, depending on what the end product is. I know there's an Israeli company that's working on the three-dimensional process to grow the muscle, fat, and blood vessels and connective tissue together. Some things, when they're just looking to do the proteins, I think they can do that with just the acellular, the brewing process, but with the bioreactors. But to make steaks and things that have to look like meat, they have to grow. But they're talking about doing plant scaffolding, plant-based. It's such a plant-based everything. The plant-based diets, you know, these are such healthy-sounding things. But that they're talking about the first meat. Did I already say they're talking about the first meat being on the market, being in the form of processed foods like chicken nuggets and hot dogs and bacon? They were very excited. We'll have bacon soon. All the vegans that are vegan because they want to save the environment, not necessarily because they don't like the taste of meat. But yeah, they're in. Did I tell you that company that's talking about having it on the store shelves in 2018? How they're in 3,600 K-12 public schools that does chicken nuggets and hot dogs. I'm curious. I'm looking through the Farm Bill now, the 2018 Farm Bill. It was rejected the other day, but I think they said that they're going to vote on it again in June, which government schmoverment, but whatever they're going to allow them to do, I'm curious to see if there's any connection with the school lunch programs, because one thing I know that I've been reading about is the changes coming to the SNAP program, the nutrition assistance program, the food stamps. They got people all up in arms about there were going to be cuts to the SNAP system and that it was going to have ties to employment, and people were upset, and they're saying, no, we ought to be able to get this food assistance, which I see them as making people beg for these horrible things. And, well, what I see is horrible. But the SNAP program, there's talk of revamping that into to make it less expensive, which I can see how it totally fits in with this cultured meat and brewed everything system. They want to change it over to be similar to, have you heard of Blue Apron, the meals that are delivered to your door, and they are ready to cook. It's all the ingredients that they're just ready to cook for your size of family, but there's talk of switching it over, switching how they do the people get their food, that it would just come to you, ready to go. You have this many people in your house. You make this much money. You know, this is what you need to supplement. But that's one of the things that they're fighting about in this, is how they're going to feed the people that are going to be fed by the government. And the government is backing, the USDA is backing the development of these products. I don't see them not incorporating them into their delivered to your door, that you don't even check where's the country of origin, where's the ingredient list or anything. I imagine they come with ingredient lists, but
so they're going to take advantage of low income and force feed them these cultured TV dinners with no labeling.
Yeah. But first make them outraged. They're threatening to take it away. They've got religious groups and civil rights groups and women and children, elderly, everybody out there. Millions, it said it would throw millions of people off of the program, but this was defeated. And this is something that people aren't going to stand for, they say.
So. Right. Problem, reaction, solution. Well, here you go.
Yep. Yeah, because they need to ramp this up. They need the schools and the prison system and the SNAP program. They need things like this to drive the increase for scaling up production. They've got the technology. Now they need the reason to scale it up. They say that the first products, when they're on the store shelves, are probably going to be pricier than conventionally grown factory farmed meat, which that's pretty cheap stuff. But they say they're going to be more expensive. And so the people who care are going to have to support this stuff, and the people whose children go to school and go to jail and have food assistance, that that's going to help drive it up. Otherwise, maybe they'll need to rain viruses down and cause a need for having to replace them.
Right. Viruses that fall from the sky and then mutate.
Yeah.
I mean, that totally sets things up for whatever they want to do. And just remember, yeah, with derivatives, they can bet the market going up or down. They can bet against it or for pandemics. I see, too, that you have a little excerpt in here about Cargill being invested with Tyson, Bill Gates in Memphis Meats, and some of their products. Three of the products are lab-grown meatballs, chicken, and duck. And they are planning on making it commercially available by 2021. And also sell cultured bluefin tuna for those of you who don't want to eat tuna out of the ocean because you're afraid that it's radioactive traveling back and forth to Japan.
Yes, they went for the bluefin tuna, Finless Foods did, they say, because it's a higher priced item, so it's easier to get to that. It makes sense to grow it because it costs so much to get it. But yeah, Cargill and Tyson, that should really grab a hold of anybody who buys their food other than from their farmer, because they touch almost everything. Cargill, they say that if you ever buy anything from a supermarket, you've probably gotten something that has gone through Cargill. I read somewhere that McDonald's, every egg goes through Cargill. And if they are heavily investing in this technology of rebuilding the food system, remaking it, then I just find it hard to believe that as soon as it's ready to go. They're glad that they have the foothold on your plate. You know, people buy Tyson. There's so many brands that are under that company that you might not even realize are from Tyson. But the investment that they're making to switch over to this, it's kind of creepy because, again, will people know what they're eating? But they can only do it. They can only keep doing it if people just, oh, well, there's nothing that we can do about this, which I don't think so. I think that's been the greatest thing about putting together this presentation is the number of people that have given me handshakes. One man gave me a handshake right after the presentation. He was nodding the whole time. But the people wanting the information, people are creeped out by their food being messed with. But they're hoping that people are willing to go and eat Burger King hamburgers, and they don't care what that is. So they don't think you'll care what this is, that if it tastes good and if it's more nutritious, I'm doing air quotes there, if it's more nutritious, then they don't think that you're going to mind this switchover. And it's going to be better for the environment. It's going to save the world, you know?
Right.
And it's crazy. And they're going to happen to make a lot of money off of this. I mean, even though they're counting on making it so much cheaper, Billy Gates is in this, and every one of these, or so many of these companies for a good reason. And Leonardo DiCaprio. I thought that was funny. I thought that was great, that he's heavily invested in Beyond Meat, too, like $20 million or something. But and that's that creepy patented heating, cooling, pressure meat that tastes, or that's plant-based, but tastes unsettlingly like meat.
Yeah, I just, my personal feeling is that this stuff is going to cause like a complete avalanche of autoimmune diseases. You actually have a section about the bleeding. There was some fake bleeding meat.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Yeah, heme is a heme. It is a thing in blood. It's the iron compound, and they said that they could source it from soy roots, but that then they'd have to tear up a lot of soy plants. Golly, that's not sustainable. So they had to modify some yeast to produce this heme, and the FDA has been hemming and hawing about whether or not it should be allowed to be on the market, which that's the Impossible Burger. Those are already in 1,000 restaurants across the country. Those have just been introduced to Asia, and they're worried because this could be an allergen because people have never eaten this product before. But people have never eaten so many of these products before. I mean, the brewed milk the yeast expelled milks and breast milks and butter from plant. People have never eaten any of this stuff, so why are they only talking about the heme? I don't know. But yeah, it's a really creepy one that browns up when you cook it, and it looks bloody because I guess that's why they make foods brightly colored, right? To attract your mind. But yeah, and just in NotCo, Brazil is big on pushing, or not Brazil, Chile is big on, and Brazil, on pushing this takeover of the food system. There's a lot of companies down there, although NotCo is also based out of San Francisco. But they're licensing to everybody. And they've got NotCo's machine learning is called Giuseppe. And they're just so glad to be able to help the entire food system redo itself.
And who is actually, is this a UN initiative? Is this part of Agenda 21, this whole remake of the food system? I mean, I know it's all in the name of climate change, but who really is pushing this? Is this that Food Institute, or is there a more international organization that's working on the global level?
You know, I haven't gone so far as to match up which of the Sustainable Development Goals or anything this matches with, but I wouldn't be surprised at all. But the Good Food Institute is one of the groups that is working on redoing everything, and they're making their recommendations for the 2018 Farm Bill, and they are talking about how these foods aren't your grandma's veggie burger, you know, but this is the way to save the world. But I don't know exactly about which of the Sustainable Development Goals. There's only so much time.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Oh, it can just keep going and going, you know.
Now, is the Good Food Institute a U.S. institution? I'm assuming that it is.
I thought I'm assuming that they are, because they've got a bit of a pull with the talking to the government here. But I don't know who the people are that are necessarily behind them. I've got links to them I can give you to include for the show. But, yeah, they are looking to change everything, and they're glad for it.
Yeah, I'm looking at their team, and I see they have a bunch of doctors and lots of different people with degrees. But interestingly, when you scroll down, there's a managing director for Israel, a managing director for India, a managing director for Brazil.
Huh. Yeah. And I think I just heard that Germany's chicken production is looking to go with Israel's super meat, I'm pretty sure. Oh, and just all of these cultured meat products, just so you know, they are considered kosher. So, in case you're wondering about that. I've got a video of rabbis talking all about it, that it's kosher. One of the things that's funny with the Good Food Institute for their comments for the FD, or the Farm Bill, is that they don't want milks like soy milk and almond milk and bird milk. They don't want them to not be able to use that word milk. Not only are they going against the cattlemen who were all for the cloning, but not only are they going against the push of not being able to call them their kind of meat, but they're also trying to save and not have to call it coconut liquid and almond juice. They want to be able to keep calling it milk. And I don't see them mentioning their brewed milk here, but I mean, there's a lot of companies doing it.
Yeah, it's creepy
to me that they want to replace the stuff in the food that you don't even know. You know, you buy a burrito and you don't know what those ingredients are. That's weird.
Well, back to the milk issue of them being able to label it milk, even if it's not cow's milk. There was a story that we covered way, way back, and I'm pretty certain that it was a serious story, that it talked about cockroach milk being healthy.
I saw that.
You did? Because I remember
trying to imagine that.
Milking cockroaches. I mean, it was enough to make you want to puke. But yeah, they were arguing at that time that they didn't want to have to label what kind of organism the milk came from.
Yeah, all of these disturbing alternative foods, the ones with the bugs, like the cricket-based foods, you know, the chirp chips and things like that, it, to me, those almost seem like such a such a thing to show how extreme it could be, so that all of these things that these aren't that extreme, you know, we know what makes salmon. So
well, you know,
we
UN came out and did a whole piece on the wonders of like cricket protein and how it would feed the world. And that was back quite a number of years ago. So, you know, this isn't crickets. This is beef. Look, it's chicken. It's pork. It's bacon.
Yeah, it's bacon. Everybody wants bacon. Yeah. The cricket thing is funny. I want to know, well, what are they feeding the crickets? I was looking at, someone had talked about on Steam, that someone was talking about the bug in the food industry. And when I went looking into what they feed crickets, and one of the things is grains. So I was just wondering, are these going to be grain-fed crickets, like grain-fed beef? And how
fish food works, too. Fish food, they like. I had crickets
for a while. That's great, because Cargill and... Monsanto, is it? No. Fargo has their fish feed, that Nuritech, the feed kind. They're building a big plant that's slated to open in 2020 in Tennessee for their fish feed, and it's already available in the EU. It's approved in the EU, but they want to partner up, or they have partnered up. Nuritech has with Calista, and that they've partnered to construct this large new facility to brew more of this fish and animal feed, so then they can feed that to the crickets. They can eat biotech too.
Yeah, that's great. So what do you think as far as a timeline? And you said some of the stuff is already out there. Do you know for a fact that it's being fed to the school systems yet? You said of it's on the shelf at your co-op.
Yeah, Beyond Meat, they are a plant-based that tastes creepily like meat, from what I hear. They have multiple products in the refrigerator and the freezer at my local stores, and they're on sale all the time. That's why I wonder if these rollouts will be so easy to the food co-ops, because all of the co-ops work under this national co-ops group, and they work with the one big distributor, UNFI. So they've kind of been cornered into whatever they offer, you know, whatever the sales are, that's what people are going to want. They're going to see it in the flyer. It's this healthier thing. But Beyond Meat is already there, and Just is already on our store shelves. And they used to be called Hampton Creek, and there was some kind of scandal about them, and they lost so much of their board stepped down, I guess, at one point, and they were getting called out, saying that they were going into stores and buying out all of the stock of their products to make it look like they had better numbers than they did. But then they rebranded to Just and are pretty well backed, and they have their plans to be their lab-grown meat on the market this year. I've heard several people speak very confidently that their nuggets or hot dogs or whatever they are that don't require special scaffolding, that are just another processed food but healthier, will be on the market this year. And they speak proudly about being in 3,600 K-12 public schools. Whether or not that's all in the United States, I don't know, because they also have a pretty heavy, Just has a pretty heavy Africa push too. They sell this stuff called Power Gari, and it looks like a porridge when they mix it up, and it's full of all the nutrients that people could possibly want. I think they said it comes from cassava, I want to say, but that it's enriched with all the goodies. But no, they seem to be pretty confident that they'll be on with their meat out this year. And they also have their eggless scramble, again, that's the mung beans, and they're in 572 universities.
And of course, eggs are bad for you. So, though
eggs,
I was reading that eggs are quite an allergen and they cause inflammation. But
I want what they're fed, and I mean, that's, you are what you eat. You know, so if they're eating these
nanoparticles,
yeah,
I was reading about that at one point, that they were talking about putting some sort of nanoparticle into the chicken feed in order to kill the salmonella, like a silver nanoparticle or something like that to kill the salmonella. But who the hell knows what or how far that passes into the animal?
And on the egg thing, I have to mention, there is a group, I want to say from Japan, it's called Shojin Meat, it translated to clean meat, I think, but they're working, they have a group of just tinkering little do-it-yourselfers that are working on countertop grow your own meat, and they're using partially incubated eggs, because in Japan you can buy unpasteurized eggs, and so yeah, they're fertilized unpasteurized eggs. But yeah, that to be able to grow it on your countertop, which so many of these things do seem like the push is eventually to be on a local scale. We need this to be sustainable. And they're getting all of this technology comes from the medical industry and the pharmaceutical industry. It's not like this is all newfangled sorts of things. This is tried and true. They're happy that they don't have the challenges that the medical industry does, because those guys, they need their lab-grown organs to work. These guys just need them to taste good.
Right. Taste good, and it'll be designated as a biological equivalent.
Yeah. But I'm just disgusted that the fact that this stuff is on the market, that the push toward children and babies, the studies were done on babies in some of the instances for the stuff for the in the baby formula, the 2-fucosylactose, and they're growing another group which is using algae and growing an artificial colostrum product. It's maddening that they're doing this. Not that formula is a healthy thing, and you look at the ingredients list and it's pretty crazy already. Who knows what those other things are? But to know that this one thing, that the little thing says, not from human milk, and this tiny writing on the front of the container, but they're telling moms that this is closer to breast milk than ever. That's grown by yeast or E. coli that's been modified, depending on the company.
That's horrifying, and you know one of my greatest fears has been screwing with my food.
Yeah,
I know, you don't even know what's safe anymore. So local farmers who understand how dangerous and crazy some of this future stuff is, as time goes on.
We need to talk to them about what they're feeding their animals. Even our local farmers could be feeding their animals biotech. But if they let them go natural and eat grass and bugs, that should be okay.
Grass and bugs that aren't famous.
All right, guys, make sure you check out Camille Steemit, steemit.com.